Well, it's good to be with you here again in Paisley. Thanks very much for the lovely warm welcome. I hope I haven't marked my card with the toothpaste this morning, but I may not get into a row from yourselves, but I know that when I get back down the road, Nancy will be saying, "Where was that toothpaste that you took this morning? I couldn't brush my teeth." So, thanks very much again for the lovely welcome. It's great to be here. This morning, for the short time that we have together, I want us just to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, really. That's the whole purpose of why we're here. That's the whole reason why we come along. That's the whole reason why this building is here. It's to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to consider his name. And I'd like us just to dwell on the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Perhaps we could turn, though, first of all, to God's Word. And we're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. So if you have a Bible, please turn to it. If not, you can listen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Now, it's a well-known story about Zacchaeus, who was, at the time, a tax collector. And the story will be familiar to most, if not all of us. There is a key verse in it I want us to look at in particular, but just for the purposes of the picture on what was happening in the scene, then I'd like us just to read the verses that we have available to us. And so therefore we'll start from verse 1 in chapter 19. And so Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Thanks to the guys up the back there for putting the words up on the screen from Luke chapter 19, verse 1 onwards. So there we are, a situation where Zacchaeus the tax collector had climbed a sycamore tree and Jesus came along, and the key verse there that we're going to look at and consider over the short time that we have this morning is when Jesus looked up and said to him in verse 5, I think I'm going to be needing a large print soon, but when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus, come down immediately. He called out the name of Zacchaeus. You know, if you're walking along the street and you hear your name, Ian or John or Jesse or Morag or whatever your name is, then immediately you would turn round, wouldn't you? That has happened to me, particularly in a shopping centre, and I've looked round and I've not recognised the person, and I've realised that the lady was shouting to someone else called Ian. So, you know, if someone calls your name, it's instant attention. And here we had a situation where Jesus called out the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't call out his name, but Jesus called out Zacchaeus and a clear instruction to come down immediately. As I've said, we're going to consider the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name's familiar. Where do I know him from? Well, you know, I have a difficulty with names. I always have had. It's one of my weaknesses, trying to remember people's names. I worked beside a fella who, many years ago, who was quite ingenious. He was also quite a crafty individual. I don't know if you could fully trust him, but he was a shrewd businessman, and he had quite a knack to actually forget people's names, but he also had quite a knack to try a procedure in order to remember a person's name. And so what he would do is he would come up to an individual, and supposing he'd come up to me and he had just met me, he would say to me, "I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. What was it again?" So he would say to me, "I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. What was it again?" And I would say, "Ian Preston." And he would say, "Yes, I knew your first name. It was your surname I couldn't remember." So there was a crafty trick for him to recall the person's first name. He would imply that he'd forgotten their surname, when in a sense he had forgotten their first name. If any of you are being sneaky, that's a way to remember a person's name. There's nothing worse, is there, when you're in company and you forget a person's name. And again, I worked beside a fellow years ago, and he was quite amusing. He would forget the person's name, and he always remembered when he remembered the person's name, because all of a sudden he started saying the person's name, and he would constantly repeat the person's name. So he was possibly trying to redeem himself for his misgivings, but there we are. In business, it's commonplace to send out mail shots to individuals, or companies will spend millions and millions of pounds on sending out mail to folks, and I'm sure you've had what we call junk mail through. Well, it's not so bad now, because you can get a big blue bin and you can put it in and recycle it, but it doesn't seem to have stopped the junk mail, does it? But there's nothing worse, is there, when you get something through and your name is incorrect. I don't know about you, but that gets me annoyed when I look at it and I think, oh, my name's wrong. Not even so much from, it's not that I'm a proud person, but I look at it and I think, well, it didn't give me a good impression of the company, because, you know, you think, well, if they're that sloppy with the person's name, then if I place business with them, how would they respond to that? But it is very easy to misspell an individual's name just through poor communication, and a person's name can be misspelled. And I've had lots of misspellings of my name. Preston, it's quite straightforward, Preston. But not so very long ago, I got a letter through, and it was addressed to Mr. Ian Patel, Patel. I don't know where that came from, but there we are. Sometimes if you contact an organisation, they'll not ask you for your name. They will ask you what your account number is, and what your postcode is, or what your national insurance number is. And instantly they've got something up on the screen that tells them, "Hey Presto, this is your name." They don't always ask for your name. Now, if you're unhappy with your name, you can change your name. So if you're unhappy with your name, if I was unhappy with my name, I could go along and change my name. Now, I could change it to Elvis Presley, or I could change it to Kenny Dalglish, or something of that ilk. Or if I had a son or a daughter, I could perhaps name them after a famous person. If I was a criminal, I would maybe want to change my name to escape the law, to escape criminal prosecution. So I start off with my name being Ian Preston. I then change my name to Ian Patterson. And if I move to Denmark or Sweden, it becomes Jan Pettersson. So there we are. That gives you some possibilities. If you think about your own name and how it could be changed, if you ever decide to get into a scrap with the law, perhaps you've been speeding along the road there, then I'm giving you some possibilities of what you can do with your name. If you recall your school days, or when you were at school, I don't know, did any of you have a nickname? I see one or two nods. I'm not going to ask what anyone's nickname was at school. But some of you may have had a nickname at school. They may not have been too polite, perhaps too rude to repeat in the service this morning, so we'll not go there, shall we? But at school, I'll not tell you what my nickname was, but I was friendly with lots of folk, and some of them had some weird and wonderful nicknames, and some of them I'll recount to you just now. There was a chap by the name of... Now, my apologies in advance to anyone who knows any of these folk, but It's safe to say it wasn't in Paisley, it was in another part of Scotland, so my fingers are crossed here that you'll not know any of these names. But Graeme Miller was one guy's name, and for some unknown reason his nickname was Bert. Bert, his name was Graeme Miller and his nickname is Bert. Don't know where that came from. One chap was called Derek Nimmo, and his nickname was Harry. Don't know where that came from. Another guy was called Derek Watson, and his nickname was Shuggy, or Shug. And then we had a left-wing communist who would not, it made no bones about it. He would tell folk he was a left-wing communist, and of course his nickname was Trotsky. We had two brothers. Now this is one where two brothers. One was in my year. The older brother was in the year above. The chap who was in my year, his nickname, I actually can't remember his real name, but his nickname was Denmark. For some reason, his nickname was Denmark. And his older brother was called Sweden. So, I really don't know where the nicknames came from. So, you know, some of them were quite amusing. Children can be quite nasty, as we know. And if you're a parent, you might have had a child who's come home from school and has maybe been bullied or called names, and you think, well, that's not very pleasant, and it can be quite nasty. My mother gave me a keyring. It was a few years ago, and it's got the spellings of Ian on it. Some of you may have seen these. If you go into gift shops, if you're up in Aberfoyle and places like that, and George Square, and there seems to be these shops that sell these things with your names on them. If it's not mugs or bookmarks, it's keyrings. And I've got a keyring here, it's got my name on it with the two spellings of Ian, I-A-N, I-A-I-N. And in the back it gives you a description of what it means. So I'll read this out to you, you'll get a laugh at this. Originally the Scottish name for John, a modern name for a modern man. Very self-assured, stands tall and handsome. This man, I've heard a few sniggers there. This man will rise to great heights. And I've made a note here, yes, 6'1". That's about the greatest height I've risen to so far. So there we are. If you ever see those with your name on it, you may agree with what's written in the back, or you may not. But of course, as we've said already this morning, and as we have alluded to, there's one person whose name is greater than all this nonsense of our names or nicknames or whatever, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hymn writers have considered him down through the ages. They have considered him down through the ages. On a study of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, you may have heard someone come along in ministry here or elsewhere, and I really don't want to get into any great depth of names in such terms of Emmanuel or King of Kings, and some deep study of those names of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just really want us just to have a general sort of overview of him this morning and what his name means to us, not just collectively as a church, but also, more importantly, individually as we sit here. Hymn writers, though, have recognised his name down through the ages. And whether you sing from the Mission Praise or the Believer's Hymn Book or whatever, I'm sure some of you can think on some lovely hymns. There's been some lovely hymns down through the ages, hasn't there? And hymn writers have recognised that. Some of these I'll recount to you, recall to you just now. Name of all majesty, fathomless mystery. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. And in the other chorus we have, his name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is Prince of Peace, the mighty God. We shall stand with our feet on the rock. Whatever men may say, we'll lift your name up high. And I suppose we could go on and, as I said, if we scoured through our hymn books, I'm sure we would come across many that would just thrill our hearts as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ and what he means to us, or what he should mean to us. Now, in Stevenson, we actually have our own hymn book, and I suppose there's pluses and there's minuses for having your own hymn book. What we tried to do in the fellowship there was take all the best bits out of one book and all the best bits out of another, and we come up with several hundred hymns and choruses, but of course there's some in it that you would like to be in it and they're not there, so you know, you're never going to please all of the folk all of the time. But what I thought we could do is just consider this hymn, which will probably be in Mission Praise or an other hymn book, but it's a lovely hymn, and I'm just going to read this out to you, and I'd like us just to think on the words of this over the time that we have. There is a name I love to hear, I love to speak its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. It tells me of a Saviour's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in my sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. It bids my trembling heart rejoice and dries each rising tear. It tells me in a still small voice to trust and never fear. Jesus, the name I love so well, the name I love to hear, no saint on earth its worth can tell, no heart conceive how dear. And the chorus I'm sure you'll recognise. Oh, how I love the Saviour's name. Oh, how I love the Saviour's name. Oh, how I love the Saviour's name, the sweetest name on earth. It's a lovely hymn, isn't it? Just concentrating on the few verses that we've heard here, and again we'll just dip into the story we read to of Zacchaeus being up a tree and the Lord Jesus Christ calling out his name, as opposed to Zacchaeus calling out the Lord Jesus' name. There is a name I love to hear was the first verse. We considered that I love to speak its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name of earth. I looked at this hymn and I considered that there are three things I think that it does for us. It reminds us to rise to a challenge of upholding the Lord Jesus Christ's name. It realises, or we should realise and remember, that we should no longer be captive to sin. And we should take solace and comfort in the great Comforter, the great Lord Jesus Christ. So it challenges us. It should remind us that we should no longer be captive to sin. And it reminds us too of the great Comforter, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1, as I've said, there is a name I love to hear, I love to speak its worth. I believe this verse reminds us to rise to this challenge of upholding the Lord Jesus Christ's name. You know, when we're out in the world, or when we go outside that door there, and if we were to walk along the high street in Paisley, just as you would do in any town or city or village in the country, I've no doubt within a very short period of time you would hear the Lord Jesus Christ's name being taken in vain. And as believers, it should sadden our hearts. It should really sadden our hearts. It should be as painful as a knife going through our heart. That unfortunately has become the norm in society. And if you switch on your television at night, and it doesn't need to be even after the 9 o'clock watershed, it can be before, where you will hear the Lord Jesus Christ's name and God's name being taken in vain almost in every programme. Even so much as someone who's had their house made over in a DIY programme, and they will come in and they will exclaim the Lord's name in a moment of surprise and in a moment of elation. So it's very sad that his name is taken in vain, and I trust as believers we do not be tempted to do that. For those of us who have not placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's sin really, it's basically sin. As Christians we should uphold his name, and if we are an unbeliever, then if we've placed our faith and trust, or we're toying with that idea, perhaps we're under conviction, then there will come a point where we should not be taking the Lord Jesus Christ's name in vain. Do we speak His worth? I love to speak its worth. It says in the second line of the first verse, I love to speak His worth. You know, again, as a challenge to Christians to say to our neighbours, do we speak His worth to our neighbours, to colleagues at work? Or are we embarrassed when we mention His name? You know, there's a real challenge there too, is telling others what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Sweeter than anything we could ever imagine. I suppose I compare it, and I suppose we can't even compare it, but shall I compare it with something that's pleasant to the taste, not bitter taste? We enjoy the taste, we savour the moment, and that's something that we should be doing. The sweetest name on earth. We shouldn't be embarrassed or we shouldn't be annoyed when we hear His name or we talk of His name. It tells me of a Saviour's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. I believe that in the second verse, there is a reminder there that we should no longer be captive to sin. And God sent His Son to die on the cross, to shed His precious blood, so that we may have eternal life, so that we may be forgiven for all wrongdoing, for all sin, past, present, and indeed future, not giving us a license to sin, but as an atonement for sin, He shed His precious blood on the cross for us. It tells me of a Saviour's love who died to set me free. As Christians, I trust that we are rejoicing that we're free from sin. We should be rejoicing, shouldn't we? We should no longer be captive to sin. Perhaps there's a challenge there to us as Christians that there's maybe something that we're still doing we know is wrong. And I would challenge you this morning to come before God and to set that right. If we haven't placed our faith and trust in Him, then this morning is a perfect opportunity to do that, to recognise that this hymn, and indeed God's word, tells us of the precious blood that was shed, and we should no longer be captive to sin. We read in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in my sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. I suggest that the third and the fourth, and indeed the fourth verse in this hymn, reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is a great comforter. And for those of us who are Christians, then I'm sure we've been through difficult periods in our life. Perhaps we're going through a difficult period just now. Illness, bereavement, sadness, angst, suffering. But we're reminded in this hymn, and we should be reminded, if we read and study God's word, as we've suggested this morning by the different Bibles we've looked at, there's no excuse. Then I suggest that we should be reminded that He is indeed the great comforter. As we look forward to perhaps putting our trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ being the Saviour of the world and being the great comforter, there is no guarantee that we will be excused or we will be free from sorrow, from woe, from upset. And you know, there's no easy ride, really. We're told it will not be an easy journey. But if we have placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have that assurance that in times of difficulty, He is the great comforter. Do you know, man can disappoint, can't he? Even our closest people we know, even our husbands or our wives or our family can disappoint. And it can be very upsetting, can't it, at times? It can be very, very upset. It can be heartbreaking at times. Perhaps we've had a situation where family has disappointed. But you know, we can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and He will never disappoint. He will never fail. He will never let us down. The last verse of this hymn alludes to the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the name I love so well, the name I love to hear. No saint on earth its worth can tell, no heart conceive how dear. Do you know, the Lord Jesus Christ to us should be of greater value than any ruby or any diamond or any precious gem. We have seen how the banking system and the economy of not just this country but around the world has collapsed. The value of property, although it will regain over the next few years if the circumstances dictate, these things at the end of the day are worthless. But we have one who is beyond anything. He is of much more value. We cannot put a price on them. Price on him. As someone once said, he is priceless. And the Lord Jesus Christ should be priceless to us, of great value. We read in Luke's Gospel of Zacchaeus being up a tree. This man, this little man, Zacchaeus, had to climb a tree to get a greater view of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he realised that his height was a disadvantage to him, and in such circumstances he knew there would be a pressing crowd, and if he was amongst the crowd he wouldn't see the Lord Jesus Christ. So he climbed a tree, he used his initiative, he climbed a tree, and when Jesus came along he called out his name, or should I say the Lord Jesus Christ called out Zacchaeus' name. It's interesting that Christ called out his name and Zacchaeus did not call out the Lord Jesus Christ's name. And I suggest this morning the Lord Jesus Christ is calling your name. We have thought about names this morning. We have had some fun. We have had some amusement. But we have thought about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the lovely name. And here we have a situation where Jesus called out Zacchaeus' name and he's calling out your name this morning. Perhaps to get closer to him. Perhaps, having placed your faith and trust in him, at some point in the past you have drifted away, become cold in heart, become angry, become bitter and annoyed. Here is an opportunity this morning to return to him, to get close to him. Perhaps you haven't made that step. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling out your name this morning to put your faith and trust in him. It reminds me of another song of praise. Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you, I call out to you again and again. I trust that as we consider the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are challenged to uphold his name in our daily walk. We recognise we should no longer be captive to sin, and we take solace and encouragement that he is the great comforter. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for our time together this morning. We give you thanks, Father, that we have been able to share with the children in your message. Father, perhaps there's been time when we've done wrong in our lives and it's not easy to put wrongs right. Father, we just ask that you will forgive us for any wrongs we have done. Father, as we have sung praises to this morning, we give you thanks that we've been able to lift your name on high. And Father, as we have considered your word, we just give thanks that there was a time and a place where Zacchaeus' name was called. And we thank you, Father, that you're calling out our name this morning. We have been reminded of the fun element of a name, and yet we have been reminded too of the seriousness of a name, and in particular the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks, Father, that you can challenge us with your word. You can help us to remember that Christ, your Son, died on the cross so that we would no longer be captive to sin. And we thank you, Father, that as we have made that step, perhaps if we contemplate that step, we can give you thanks that as we go through life, even in senior years, you are indeed the great Comforter. So as we depart from this place, we give you thanks for our time together, collectively and individually. We just ask that you'll be with us as we go outside of this building. We just ask that you'll be with us in our daily walk, wherever we may be, at work, with neighbours, studies, wherever we are. We just give you thanks and we just ask that you'll be there for us. So we give you thanks again in your worthy and loving and precious name. Amen.